This reading was taken from the Center for Clinical Interventions, Overcoming Disordered Eating, Pack A, Module 7, titled Moods and Disordered Eating. Introduction. In the last module, we described binge eating, purging, and excessive exercise as part of a vicious cycle that involves concern over weight and shape and dietary restriction. In this module, we will talk about another aspect of the vicious cycle, the role of moods in eating disorders. We will discuss how some people have difficulty tolerating moods and managing them. As a result, they resort to unhelpful behaviors in an effort to cope with and overcome intense mood states. We will explore more helpful strategies for managing your moods. Even if you don't think you have problems with tolerating moods, you might find the information and coping strategies provided here interesting or useful. What is mood intolerance? Some people have great difficulty tolerating negative moods. What do we mean by that? These people don't know how to deal with intense feelings and they are very sensitive to intense negative emotions. For example, disappointment, depression, hurt, fear, guilt, anger. So they use particular ways and means to manage their moods and achieve short-term relief by avoiding or getting rid of those intense negative feelings. These ways and means come at a personal cost because they usually take the form of drinking alcohol, taking drugs, self-harm, so example, cutting or burning, binge eating, vomiting, or excessive exercising. In the long term, these actions do not prevent the unwanted negative experience and they can in turn cause additional problems. Therefore, mood intolerance can be understood as sensitivity to and difficult tolerating intense negative feelings to the extent that personally costly measures are used to try and avoid these feelings. Mood intolerance can get in the way of overcoming eating problems. This is because people with disturbed eating and mood intolerance often resort to binge eating, vomiting, or excessive exercise to get relief from intense feelings. Coping in this way only keeps the eating disorder going. Below is a diagram that was also shown in Module 3. This diagram shows how an eating disorder such as bulimia nervosa might develop and be maintained. We have also added mood intolerance to the diagram, showing that it can trigger binge eating, vomiting, or excessive exercising, and is one of the mechanisms that can keep the eating disorder going. Do I have difficulty tolerating and managing my moods? Many people with eating disorders resort to binge eating and, less often, purging, exercising, or restricting food when they are overcome with emotion and feel unable to cope. For some people, it can have a numbing effect. For others, it has a calming effect, and for some, it can help take the edge off anger. To overcome eating problems fully, you may need to learn to overcome mood intolerance. In other words, learn to deal with intense moods. First, let's find out if this is something you have difficulties with. Here are a few questions for you to think about. At this time, you can push the recording on pause and complete the chart that's outlined in the CCI paper copy. If you have answered many of the above questions with often or very often, then you might have difficulties with handling moods. If you haven't answered often or very often, you may still want to stay with us as we discuss various ways of managing your moods. You might learn some skills that could be useful in the future. Learning to manage moods. It is common for people with eating disorders to report that when the going gets tough, they feel they have no alternative but to resort to, say, binge eating. Binge eating has become their way of coping and they see no alternative. It is really important to realize that there are other ways of coping with distress. There are various skills to be learned for overcoming mood intolerance effectively and learning to deal with intense mood states. As with all new things, it will take time and energy to learn these new skills. Mindfulness skills. Mindfulness is about living with awareness. It helps to be aware of what you are doing so that you can change your behaviors. It is impossible to change a behavior when you aren't aware of even doing it. How many times have you been halfway into a binge before you catch yourself? When you become more aware of your actions, you will find it easier to change. Mindfulness skills involve taking a step back and observing yourself neutrally. In the last module, we discussed mindful eating as one strategy to gain control over your binges. Mindfulness skills can be divided into the what skills and the how skills. It is about observing, describing, and participating, the what, in a way that is non-judgmental, focusing on one thing at a time and doing what is effective, the how. These are described in more detail below. The what skills of mindfulness. Number one, observing. Notice what you are experiencing without getting caught up in the experience. Just observe and be aware of your feelings and any physical sensations. Imagine your mind as a non-stick pan and allow the feelings and thoughts to come, be observed, and go, slip away, like clouds in the sky or leaves floating away in a stream. Number two, describing. As you observe your experiences, you need to put words to them. For example, you might say in your mind, I notice a tightness in my chest as I breathe. I thought, I'm very tense, comes to my mind. Just notice and describe what is in your thoughts. Don't get involved in the content of your thoughts. Number three, participating. When you do something, do it with all your attention. Don't do things on automatic pilot. Participate in the activity with awareness. For example, when you are vacuuming the carpet, don't start thinking about cooking dinner. Notice the sound of the vacuum cleaner, which muscles you're using. Notice your feelings and any thoughts that come to mind. Notice if attention strays, then gently bring it back to the task. The how skills of mindfulness. Number one, being non-judgmental. This means accepting each moment as it is, not how you think it should be. It is focusing on only the facts and not assigning a value or any worth, not saying something is good or bad. This is hard because we all tend to judge rather than describe things. We might say, the sun is shining, that's lovely. Being non-judgmental would be, the sun is shining, I can feel its warmth on my face. Notice what is helpful and balanced as well as what might be unhelpful or unbalanced, but don't judge it. If you find yourself judging, don't judge yourself for it. Just gently remind yourself to let go of judging and return to being non-judgmental. Number two, focusing on one thing at a time. Work on doing one thing at a time. Focusing on one thing at a time means that we can give ourselves and our attention fully to that action. So when you are walking, walk. When you are eating, eat. When you are watching TV, focus on what you are watching. Do each thing with all of your attention. If feelings or thoughts, example, remembering what you have to do later, distract you, do your best to let go of those distractions and bring your attention back to what you're doing. You may find that you have to do this again and again. This is because your mind has a habit of taking a little journey of its own and wandering. Just notice that your mind has wandered and gently bring your focus back to what you're doing. If you find yourself doing more than one thing at once, gently direct yourself to doing only one thing at a time. And number three, doing what is effective. This means doing only what needs to be done in whatever situation you're in. Sometimes we get caught up with what we should do or what is right. Focus on your goals in the situation and do what is necessary to achieve them. For example, a soccer player might believe that the referee ruled unfairly against him in a match, but decides to let go of his anger and focus on scoring a goal. If you notice yourself getting annoyed and find yourself having thoughts such as, this is unfair or that's not right, identify these as thoughts, let them go, and bring your attention back to the task at hand. Let's review again how mindfulness skills help in addressing problems with managing mood and how this can help your disordered eating. Intense negative feelings build up over time, but many people think that they come out of the blue. This is because people are not aware of the thoughts, feelings, and sensations they are experiencing and get caught up in them. By being more mindful of your experiences, feelings, sensations, thoughts, and behavior, you'll be in more control of your eating and less reactive and impulsive. On page 6 is a worksheet for you to practice the 6 mindfulness skills. Read through these skills again and the basic instructions over leaf, and then choose a particular day, time, and meal for you to practice mindful eating. After the practice, use the worksheet to describe how you were observing, describing, and participating in eating this meal in a way that is non-judgmental, focused on one thing at a time, and effective. We encourage you to practice doing other things mindfully as well, such as going for a walk, having a bath, cooking, watching TV, doing housework, dressing, having coffee with a friend, etc. Keep practicing and use the worksheet to record your experiences. Don't be disheartened if these skills don't work perfectly the first time you try them. It is best to approach the practice with a gentle curiosity and without too many expectations. Setbacks and slip-ups are to be expected and can be used as part of your practice to cultivate greater mindfulness and understanding of the obstacles of being mindful. There are many ways to practice mindfulness, so be flexible and keep practicing regularly to help build your skill. Basic instructions for mindful eating practice. Practice doing mindful eating for about 5 minutes at a time at first, and then gradually increase to longer periods. It is important to adopt a posture that is relaxed, alert, attentive, and interested. If possible, do the exercise in a room where there are a few distractions. Proceed through the practice in a slow, careful, and gentle manner. Start by just spending a little time bringing your awareness to your posture and to your relationship to the food you intend to eat. And number two, after a little time of being aware of your posture, start moving your focus of attention to observing the food. Observe the visual sensations for about a minute or so, noticing the detailed shapes, colors, and textures. Move your focus to particular aspects of the food. Number three, then move your focus of attention to the qualities of the particular smells. Allow yourself time to be fully aware of the smells that may be there and the detailed sensations in your nose. You may need to move a little closer to the food. Number four, if thoughts or particular emotions enter your mind, acknowledge that they're there and then, as best as you can, let them go and return your attention to observing the food and to the experience of smelling the food. Number five, after a while, you may wish to begin to describe to yourself some of the more prominent aspects of your experience. For example, if there is some feeling of hunger, you might say to yourself, "Hunger is here," or "tummy grumbling." See if you can notice these feelings with a gentle curiosity. If you feel a little tense or bored, you might say, "Tension is here," or "Boredom is here." Or if your mind is wandering into thinking about your experience or something else, try to see if you can notice the type of thoughts they are. If they are judging or fantasy thoughts, you might say to yourself, "Judging or fantasizing," then returning back to the observing mode. Number six, when you are ready to start eating the food, becoming aware of your intention to eat the food, the movements for your eating, and the tastes and textures in your mouth as you eat, observing the movements and feelings as you chew and swallow the food from moment to moment. Number seven, again, if any thoughts or emotions arise while you're eating, you may wish to give them a descriptive name. If there are thoughts, see the thoughts as just thoughts. Notice how they'll come and go, and then, as best as you can, return your awareness to the process of eating. Number eight. When you've spent some time observing and describing, you can become aware of fully participating in the task of eating. Expand your awareness to experience all the sensations, smells, and movements together as you eat. Number nine. During the previous aspects of mindfulness, it is important to adopt a non-judgmental stance and bring all of your attention to the particular experience you're focusing on from moment to moment. Lastly, try to adopt the view that you're doing the practice because it needs to be done and mindfulness is a skill that works, rather than doing it because of more lofty thoughts like it should be done or it's the right thing to do. Mindfulness skills practice. Instructions. Refer to the descriptions of the mindfulness what and how skills provided in this module. In the spaces provided below, describe your practice of each of these skills immediately after a particular meal with as much detail as possible. Remember to also record the day, date, time, and the meal that you are practicing being mindful of. Take this opportunity to pause the module and complete the activity outlined in the CCI paper copy. It includes six boxes. The first is observing. What did I notice? How easy was it to remain focused on sensations? What physical sensations were prominent? Did I notice any distractions or mind-wandering, and what were they? The second box is describing. What things did I describe? Particular types of thoughts, body sensations, emotions. The third box is participating. Did I participate fully in the task, or did I go into automatic pilot, become very self-conscious, or wish I was doing something else? The fourth box is being non-judgmental. Did I go to the practice with an open mind? Did I allow myself to accept my experience, or did I try to control my experience? In what way was I non-judgmental and in relation to what? The fifth box is focusing on one thing at a time. How easy was it to remain focused on one thing? What happened when I was not focused? Did I have any reactions to my mind wandering? The sixth and final box is doing what is effective. Did I just get on with the activity in a practical way because it was effective, or did I get preoccupied with thoughts that I must do it right or perfectly? Learning to tolerate distress. Distress is part of life and you cannot avoid experiencing it. In fact, the more you make efforts to avoid pain and distress, the more distressed you're likely to be. When you try to get away from feeling pain, be it emotional or physical, you are adding an extra layer of distress on top of what you are already feeling. It is helpful to learn to bear up under distress skillfully and as best as you can. Tolerating or bearing up under pain and distress means that you are aware of and accept yourself and your current situation in a non-judgmental way. You may not be able to change certain things then and there, or it may not be an appropriate time to make changes. You may not be sure of how to respond and need time to calm down and think things through. Sometimes you just need to get through the crisis. This is when distress tolerance skills are needed. Category 1, distracting. While we are not suggesting that you work at avoiding your feelings altogether, we recognize that sometimes those emotions seem overwhelming and there are times where it may be helpful to immerse yourself in an activity to take your mind off your feelings. Number 1, activities. Call or go out with a friend, do some gardening, take a bath, go for a walk. Number 2, contributing. Make or do something thoughtful for someone, do volunteer work. Number 3, comparison. Compare yourself favorably with someone who might be less fortunate than you. Number 4, opposite emotions. Read a joke book, watch a chick flick or a comedy, listen to dance music. Number 5, pushing away. Leave the situation for a while, both physically and mentally. Imagine a wall between yourself and the situation. Postpone thinking about it. Example, tell yourself that you will think about it later. Imagine putting any distressing bits of the situation in a box and tucking it out of sight. Number 6, other thoughts. Find something to occupy your mind, such as playing computer games, doing a crossword puzzle, try counting backwards from 100. Number 7, sensations. Do something physical, such as squeeze a ball or something squishy in your hand. Hug a pillow tightly. Have a hot or cold shower. Switch on a fan or air conditioner and sit in front of it. The second category is self-soothing. There are times that we need to help ourselves feel calmer. These strategies are aimed at bringing you comfort and relief. Think of satisfying and stimulating your 5 senses. Number 1, vision. Find a beautiful flower, go to the beach, and watch the waves. Number 2, hearing. Listen to music, the sounds of nature, such as the sounds of insects, birds, water, breeze. Sing a song, hum a tune, play an instrument. Number 3, smell. Use your favorite shampoo, lotions, or perfume. Try on different scents at the store. Spray some air freshener. Light some scented candles or incense. Number 4, taste. Make a soothing drink like a herbal tea or hot chocolate. Suck on a peppermint or chew some gum. Remember to taste your food and drink mindfully. Number 5, touch. Have a bubble bath. Put clean sheets on your bed. Stroke your pet. Have a massage or soak your feet. Put some skin lotion on. Put on some comfortable clothes or a silky shirt or dress. Hug somebody. The third and last category is improving the moment. This is replacing the immediate negative events with more positive ones. Number 1, imagery. Imagine you're in a safe place or lying on a beach or coping well. Number 2, meaning. Look for some meaning in your pain. Reflect on your spiritual values. Number 3, pray to God if you believe or reach out to the universe. Ask for strength to bear the distress and get through this. Number 4, relaxation. Practice a technique that works for you, like yoga, deep breathing, or muscle relaxation. Number 5, one thing in the moment. Focus on the here and now in detail. Bring all your attention to focus on what you are doing right now, drinking tea, doing some gardening, or walking, etc. Number 6, vacation. Give yourself a break. Stop actively coping. Number 7, encouragement. Be your own cheerleader. Say, I can stand this, or this won't last forever. You can make up your own cheerleading rhyme, such as, I'll be okay, I'll be fine, this too will pass in time. Distress tolerance skills. Instructions. There are 3 types of skills listed here and a number of strategies for each type of skill. For each strategy, write down what specific things you will do to help you tolerate and bear with any distress you might experience. Then, practice each of these strategies you have chosen and write down how you felt before and after you used that strategy. Rate your distress levels between 0, which is no distress at all, And 100, the distress can't feel worse than this. Take the time to pause the recording and complete this worksheet in the CCI. Remember, you're coming up with examples for each type of strategy. And then when you actually utilize the strategy, that is when you will rate your level of distress before and after. Distress tolerance, benefits and costs. Considering the pros and cons. Another strategy for tolerating distress involves evaluating the benefits and costs of A, using extreme measures such as cutting, drinking, binge eating, vomiting, or unhealthy behavior to get rid of distress, versus B, tolerating the distress. Ask yourself, what are the short-term and long-term benefits and costs of not tolerating the distress to get rid of the emotional pain? What are the short-term and long-term benefits and costs of tolerating the distress and not using extreme measures? Take the time to pause the recording again and complete the chart listed in the paper copy of the CCI. The ones titled Not Tolerating Distress, Engaging in Unhealthy Behaviors to Deal with Difficult Emotions, and Tolerating Distress, Not Engaging in Unhealthy Behaviors. Ask yourself, are the short-term benefits in column A worth the long-term costs of column D? Are you willing to tolerate the short-term discomfort of F to reap the long-term benefits of G? Emotional regulation. Emotion regulation also uses mindfulness skills, observing and describing one's thoughts, emotions, and behavior in a non-judgmental way. You can feel more distressed if you beat yourself up for feeling, say, angry, or if you tell yourself, I shouldn't feel this way. When you do this, you are experiencing a secondary emotion in response to your primary emotion. Actually, in many instances, the primary emotion, for example, anger, might be quite healthy and appropriate. Therefore, being mindful and non-judgmental about how you feel can help you better manage your mood and regulate your emotions. Identifying and labeling emotions. This involves 1. Observing and describing the event in which you experience particular emotions and sensations. 2. Your thoughts and interpretations of the event. 3. How you are feeling. Put words to feelings. Describe physical sensations. Put a name to emotions. 4. How you might have expressed or want to express those emotions. Any actions you might have carried out or wanted to carry out. And 5. The after effects of those emotions on your functioning. Let's use an example to illustrate this emotion regulation strategy. The event is, Father is unable to attend my university graduation ceremony. Thoughts and interpretations? I wish Father could leave work to be with me. He's hardly ever attended significant events in my life. His work is probably more important to him than I am. Feelings? I feel disappointed and sad. There's a lump in my throat and my eyes are filling with tears. Expression and action? Not talking much. Only saying what I have to. Not smiling. Not wanting to talk to people or smile. Slumping my shoulders and wanting to cry. The after effects. Feeling irritable, remembering other times my father wasn't there for me, no appetite. Emotions communicate to and influence others. One of the functions of our emotions is to carry a message to other people. This communication is expressed through our facial expressions and body language. In primitive societies and among animals, facial expressions communicate light words. Even in today's modern societies, facial expressions can get a message across faster than words. Because our emotions communicate to others, they can also be used consciously and unconsciously to influence and control others' behavior. For example, a woman who feels sad and disappointed may need comforting. Her sadness, expressed through drooping of shoulders, screwing up eyes, and crying, may result in her partner putting an arm around her and giving her a hug. Understanding the functions of emotions is important because you can then ask yourself, when I feel this emotion, what do I actually want to say? What message do I want to get across? Emotions organize and motivate action. Emotions motivate our behavior. They prepare us for action, and they get us to act in important situations so we don't have to think everything through. Strong emotions help us overcome obstacles in our minds and in the environment. For example, feeling frustrated when something isn't working out can help organize problem-solving abilities and creative thinking skills. Emotions can be self-validating. Our emotional reactions to other people and to events can give us information. Emotions can be a signal or an indication that something is happening. For example, when we feel happy about being with someone, our emotions could be telling us that this person may be enjoying our time together. But emotions should not necessarily be treated as facts. For example, I feel incompetent, I am incompetent, or if I feel right about something, then it is right, or if I'm afraid, this situation is threatening, or I love him, so he must be okay. Remember, emotions may be signals, but they may not be the truth. Being mindful in observing and describing your emotions is very important in learning and practicing to overcome mood intolerance. Use the worksheet on the next page to practice identifying and labeling your various emotions, be they positive, so love, joy, excitement, or negative, like sadness, anger, and fear. Identifying and labeling emotions. Instructions. Choose a current or recent emotional reaction and fill out this worksheet in as much detail as possible. Take this time to pause the recording and complete the activity on the printed out handsheet of the CCI. The first column is activating event or emotions. What prompted the emotion? The next row is interpretations of the situation, beliefs, assumptions, thoughts, and expectations. The next row is body sensations, the feelings in my body. The next row is body language, facial expressions, postures, and gestures. The next row is actions taken, what I said or did. The next column is action urges, what I felt like doing and what I wanted to say. The next row is after effects, the after effect that the emotion had on my state of mind, other feelings, behaviors, thoughts, memory, body. The last row is the function of the emotions. Increasing positive emotional experiences. Managing moods is not only about learning skills to deal with intense negative emotions. One very important strategy, both for short-term and long-term, is increasing the number of positive emotional experiences in your life. Here are some suggestions for doing this. In the short term, do pleasant things that are possible now. Engage in pleasurable activities that bring out positive emotions. For example, listen to my favorite CD, Meet a Friend for Coffee. Number two, do something simple and pleasant for yourself once a day or at least three times a week. For example, have a bubble bath, rent that DVD I've been longing to see. Make a list of activities that may be pleasant and fun for you, as well as positive things that you can do for yourself. Feel free to take this time to pause the recording and complete the activity outlined in the CCI paper copy. In the long term, make changes in your life so that positive events will occur more often. Go for positive events. Make a list of positive events you want to experience. Identify the steps you need to take towards these goals, and then take the first step towards achieving them. You can pause the recording again to complete the chart outlined in the paper copy of the CCI. Positive events I want to experience is one column, and steps I need to take towards these goals is the second column. Take care of relationships. As best you can, mend old friendships and relationships. Work on current ones and reach out for new friendships and relationships. Summary. We have discussed the idea that sensitivity to and difficult tolerating intense negative emotions can get in the way of overcoming eating disorders because it can trigger unhelpful behaviors like binge eating, vomiting, and excessive exercising. Three main types of skills are helpful in managing your moods, and they are mindfulness skills, distress tolerance skills, and emotional regulation skills. These are important skills to learn and work through, and this will need practice and persistence. There are a lot of important things discussed in this module, and we encourage you to take your time to read through it, perhaps even more than once. Do use these worksheets again and again to help you practice these skills, and then remember to apply them when the situation calls for it. With practice and persistence, you will certainly make progress. And that concludes this chapter of the CCI.